How many of you have a smart home? How many of you have a dumb home? Okay. Well, there are so many things now, like you know, of course, this has been around for a little while, having light bulbs. Like, you can set your light bulbs to come on when you arrive home from work or school or wherever that you've been. You can have them turn off at the normal time that you go to sleep. I know I have a light bulb that will start dimming like around 9 p.m. And so that is an indication to me to start dimming, wrapping it up and getting ready for bed. I don't go to bed until about 3 hours later than that, but I try. There are so many different ways that we can automate our homes, and it seems like the more that we try to add these things, the more complicated our lives actually get. But there are some good things that come with that. One of the things that you can do, and please don't search during the sermon, but IFTT. Does anybody know what that means? If this, then that. So you can automate from your phone, and it's probably already built into your phone. It definitely is if you are an iPhone owner, or even for Android phones, there are the same kinds of apps that are there. So if you do this one thing, then that will happen. If you set your light bulb to go off, kind of like these that shine down on the altar. At 10 a.m. every Sunday, they just come on. And some of you think that it's a part of God's presence here with us. Maybe. But it is set up. It's an automation that exists. And so I set it up a long time ago, and it'll come on at 10 o'clock. Also, I have it set up for 5:30 on Wednesdays. About 5:15, it will come on. And so it will also turn off when the service is over. It's kind of a neat thing. If you do this, then this will happen. Or for every action, there is a what? Reaction. Yeah. Well, our gospel text today help us see some kind of automation that is going on in the lives of the people that Jesus encounters. And whenever he shows up, something happens. And what we'll see here in our story today, as well as all throughout Epiphany, we will see that when Jesus calls someone, or when Jesus reveals who he is to someone, then something happens. There is some kind of response. And maybe that response is not the best response in the world. And we see that in the Gospels. But maybe it is the right response. And we see that today with Philip and with Nathanael. And really what's taking place is that the two things are seeing and following. So let's look a little bit more closely here at the text. And by the way, we can also look at 1 Samuel, that text today, and see what was going on with the revelation of God to Eli and to Samuel, and what is taking place there. As he hears from God, he doesn't know what he's hearing at first, but that revelation becomes more clear, especially with the help of Eli. But it is this description, it is this self-revelation of God to them. And we see that here, certainly with Philip. Philip saw Jesus. And of course, Jesus saw him first, right? Jesus is out calling disciples. And as we looked at last week, John the Baptist really saying, "This is the guy, this is the Messiah, this is the Lamb of God, behold." And so John's disciples started following after Jesus. And so Jesus is also calling people to come follow him. And so he encounters Philip, and he says, "Come and follow me." And of course, Philip does that. And there is this seeing back and forth. Philip has no doubt heard something about this Jesus. Philip has seen him. And Jesus certainly knows who Philip is, and he interacts with him. But then we see Nathanael. Nathanael, we don't know a whole lot about Nathanael. But what we do learn, I think we like, right? It's something that is very wonderful that takes place in his life. And he's just like you and I would be. And we'll get to a little bit more about that later. But Nathanael saw Jesus, didn't he? When Jesus saw and found him. So that's really the first action that takes place. Philip goes and tells Nathanael about Jesus. And that's when he says, Nazareth, what good can come out of Nazareth? It was full of poverty and just a rundown kind of place. And he says, that's not where the Messiah is going to come from. Nobody's looking in Nazareth for the Messiah. But Philip is there telling him, no, this is the guy. Believe me. Come and see. Come and check it out for yourself. But as Jesus goes, he sees Nathanael sitting under a tree. He is sitting there under this fig tree and probably thinking all kinds of thoughts and thinking about what he was going to do for the day and maybe praying a little bit. Who knows? But it is then that as Jesus goes to him, he comes to understand that Jesus really does know what he's talking about. And Philip really knows what he's talking about. He says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Just like Philip was saying, you are the one that we have waited for so long as we've lived in oppression and under the captivity of the Roman government. And before that, under the captivity of so many other nations and people. And we've been waiting for you. Our parents have talked to us about this Messiah. Our grandparents and their parents and all the way back. People have been talking about somebody that was going to come and finally rid us of all of this oppression. That we could truly be the people of God in our world. And so Nathanael he's just so excited. And Jesus says, you're going to see greater things than these. If you think this is something big, just wait, Nathanael, because you're going to see a whole lot more. I love this description. And I love all of the encounters that people have with Jesus as we find them in the Gospels. There's always something exciting. There's always this kind of epiphany, right? As kind of this light bulb goes off and people see God in flesh there in Jesus. One of my favorite saints and actually is a doctor of the church is Teresa of Avila. And I remember I was in a Christian mystic book reading club a number of years ago. And we read one of her writings, The Interior Castle. And if you ever want to just kind of geek out on Christian mysticism, you could read that book. But one of the things that she had trouble with in her life was praying. She found it very difficult to be able to concentrate and to have what she referred to as mental prayer and to really get to a place where she could get rid of distractions, especially her thoughts and also her sense of guilt. She just always felt the weight of her sin upon her. And when she becomes a nun, she was a Carmelite nun in 1500s, mid-1500s, she has several powerful experiences. In fact, there's even the claim that she prayed so powerfully that she levitated. And this is kind of comical, actually. And so whenever she told her other sisters that whenever she started to levitate, whenever she was just really meditating so powerfully and encountering the presence of God, whenever that happened and she started to levitate, she said, y'all come sit on me so that I don't float off. I mean, really, you know, kind of some different kind of stuff here. But one of the visions that she had was that this angel from heaven was lancing her heart with this golden sword. And a lot of the depictions, as you see in this image, it's like an arrow. In other words, she felt so pierced in her heart by the warm and powerful presence of Jesus. In fact, she said she saw Jesus and she envisioned Jesus there with her. And this changed her life forever. This particular experience that she had with Jesus changed her forever. And she says a couple of words. She says, reflect carefully on this, for it is so important that I can hardly lay too much stress on it. Fix your eyes on the crucified, and nothing else will be of much importance to you. She also says, he is born with thousands of foul and abominable sins which you have committed against him. Yet even they have not been enough to make him cease looking upon you. It is such a great matter then, or is it such a great matter then, for you to avert the eyes of your soul from the outward things and sometimes to just look at him. So seeing really is everything, isn't it? And for us to be able to open our eyes and truly be able to see Jesus. Well, in this season of Epiphany, we remember that God reveals himself to us in various ways, but most particularly in Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus, we see God. When we hear Jesus, we hear God. I wonder this morning, have you ever seen Jesus? Maybe not like Teresa of Avila. Maybe not like Philip and Nathaniel. But have you seen Jesus? And when? All the time, okay? When was the last time? Think about that in your own mind. When was the last time? And what was it that you saw? And did it lead you, like it led Nathaniel, to proclaim the greatness of who Jesus was, that he is indeed the Son of God? That he indeed is with us. He is Emmanuel. That he is our Savior. He is our Lord. Well, some ways that you can see Jesus in this new year that we're living in. Just a few that I thought of that helped me develop a routine of quiet prayer. Sometimes it's hard to think of what to pray. Well, you don't even have to use words. Just to have some quiet prayer. Maybe it's 5 minutes a day. Maybe it's 15 minutes. Maybe it's when you wake up or when you go to bed at night that you've carved out some time when you do nothing but just sit alone in the presence of God. Get into that routine. Get involved with a Sunday school class or study. I was glad to see, even on this cold morning, that our Sunday school classes had people in them today. And that is a wonderful thing because we can see Jesus as we study Scripture, but also we see Jesus in the lives of the people that are studying with us, from their interpretations, from their thoughts, from their testimonies of what Christ means to them. And another way you can see Jesus is get out in nature often. Don't do it today. Probably not till about Wednesday or Thursday, but get in nature and do it often. And you will, I guarantee you, you will see Jesus. Well, the other thing that they do, the reaction, is following Jesus. And this is what we see taking place. After Philip saw Jesus and heard his invitation to follow him, he stepped into action. He doesn't, go, well, let me go back home for a while. Let me think about this for a while, Jesus. Philip goes right into action. He can't wait to go tell Nathaniel what he has found in Jesus. And then also, after Nathaniel saw Jesus, he started following him. He began his life as a disciple of Jesus Christ from then on. And seeing who Jesus is will lead you to action in this next year. Or it will lead you to an action. And one response might be that you will do nothing with that. You will not follow Jesus. But my prayer and my hope is that you will do the right thing. You will do the right response. And that is that you will begin to follow Jesus. Well, there are some ways that you can do that. And if you'll look in your bulletin, there are some teams that are listed here. And we try to do this and have everybody re-up for the coming year. And you'll see our missional ministry teams, the Cresswell Lighthouse team. And they definitely need tutors, after-school tutors at Cresswell Elementary, right down the street. And you'll also see in your bulletin a little information piece about that here. And you'll learn about it during our announcements as well. Also, our veterans team. This past Tuesday, we went to the Veterans Center right down the street where we go every month with a birthday cake. And we have maybe just 15 or 20 minutes of cutting cake with them and celebrating not only their birthdays, but even their sobriety birthdays. And we sing a happy birthday together, get a chance to visit with them. It's a wonderful time. And you could volunteer to do that. Also, Visions of Hope. That's Volunteers of America's program for individuals with mental illness. You can help with music or art and crafts and different things. And by the way, Sally Moyers visited last week at the new location, and she could tell you all about it and what kinds of craft supplies and art things that they have there, and talk about how to get involved and help her with that. I go every Tuesday and do morning prayer with them. That's something that you could participate in as well. Also, Highland Center Ministries, Maggie Lee's Closet, Little Clothesline, the Men's Closet, the Women's Closet, Highland Blessing Dinner, Vita Tax Preparation, lots of ways that you can be involved there. And then our immigration ministry. You can help with grocery shopping, hand out supplies, cleaning and organizing supplies. Every week, every day, we have immigrants that are passing into this building and out of this building. And we help them in so many different ways. So that is one way that you can respond to what you have seen in Jesus. I want to close with, as we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day tomorrow, to think about the significance of King's life. And one of the quotes that I thought of in terms of this text today is this. No one really knows why they are alive until they know what they would die for. King certainly understood that, and King saw Jesus. He saw Jesus at an early age, and he continued to see Jesus and grew in the depth of knowledge that he would have for years to come in Jesus. And Jesus influenced everything he did with his civil rights movement, with his own personal actions, and even as he would go on to die for the sake of his faith in Christ and for a better world. And so as we think about that, we think about the difference and what a difference he made in his life by seeing Jesus and following him. And what a difference you and I will make with our lives as we do the same. And so may we do so in this year ahead. Amen.